We come this morning in our final week of our Kingdom series, excuse me. And as I was preparing for this morning, I was thinking about summertime as it gets exponentially cooler and we prepare for a huge snowfall from what I'm hearing from Jacob, who is excited and I am not. But as I was thinking about the days of summer, I was thinking about those moments where we go swimming either in pools or lakes. And I'm one of those folks that hates cold water. And so every time I go to the pool, I'm always one of those people that just dips my toes in and I kind of walk down the stairs slowly. Or if I'm on a beach, I walk into the water slowly. And as soon as it, you know, gets higher and higher, I kind of start to hesitate. And I always, Aaron always makes fun of me, but he's always like, why don't you just jump in? You won't be cold if you just get in the water all at once. This morning, our story in the biblical text offers us this challenge, really, to instead of going slowly into our faith, rather, we are called to go all in, to jump in the water, even if it's cold, even if it's scary, even if it makes us uncomfortable. God wants us to give our whole lives over to Him. So as we come into this final week of our season of our series called Welcome to the Kingdom, we think about what does it really mean to be a part of the kingdom of God? What does it really mean to be a part of this family that God has woven together? Recently, I finished up a Netflix series called Bloodline. I don't know if you've seen it or not. I don't know that I would recommend it. But this show presents us with this family. And there are five siblings. We learn later that one of them has passed away as a child. But there's three brothers and one other sister. And it's kind of this crazy series where we find out at the beginning that one of the brothers has been killed, and the family does all they can to protect one another. Everything that they do, their mom says, do it for the family. Now, thankfully, Jesus isn't asking us to commit any crimes, right? Jesus isn't asking us to do anything terrible or to lie or to conceal or to harm. But Jesus is asking us to do something radical. Jesus is asking us to do something that kind of goes against our instincts and to open ourselves up to be vulnerable to who God is calling us to be. So I invite you this morning, if you have a Bible in front of you, to grab it and turn to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in Luke 21 this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, there's going to be a link that goes up in the comments that you can click on, and that will take you to Bible Gateway, where you can follow along with the scripture this morning. So let's read from Luke 21, and I'm just going to read from 1 through 4 this morning, although I will bounce around later, but for right now, we're just going to be in Luke 21, 1 through 4. It says this: He looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We read this story from Luke this morning, and Luke heard this story from Mark. Mark was written first, and then Luke took some of his writings and some of another source and some of his own stuff, and he created the Gospel of Luke. And so you can also find this same story in Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. So I would encourage you to take some time to do some compare and contrast this morning. It's interesting how different gospel writers will present the same story in either similar or different ways to fit their purpose for writing their gospels. But what's important about this story is just like Mark, Luke makes it come immediately after Jesus talking about the scribes. And here, when Jesus says scribes, if you read it in the NIV translation, we're reading from the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. But if you read it in the New International Version, the word scribes is translated as teachers of the law. Teachers of the law. And so Jesus knows that his disciples are listening. And they are going to go out soon and they're going to be teachers of the law. They're going to be sharing the gospel message. And so this message is for them. And so if we back up into Luke 19... And start in verse 45, this is just the paragraph right above what we just read. The header in my Bible says, Jesus denounces the scribes. And he says, in hearing of all people, he said to the disciples, beware of the scribes, beware of the teachers of the law, who will walk around in long robes and love to be greeted with respect in marketplaces, and they have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. They devour the widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They receive greater condemnation. Jesus is calling these guys out, these teachers of the law, these scribes, and he's telling the disciples, don't be like them. Now, there's no reason to assume that all of them had been corrupted by their office, but some had. And this is the kind of leadership that Jesus warns against, the kind of thing he does not want us to be like. These guys that walk around in long robes, that like to be greeted with respect simply because of their title, that they like to have the best seats in their places of worship, and they like to have honor at great feasts. Jesus says, don't be like them. Instead, we get this contrasting story of the widow, whose lavish generosity consists of just two mites, these two small coins that are almost worthless. They're of very little value. But the widow comes in, and this is what she has to offer. The presence of other large gifts in the treasury would just make her gift seem even smaller. Now, Jesus doesn't romanticize small giving, but he weighs the gift by not the amount that the gift was, but by how much is left over after you give. You can give thousands and thousands or millions or billions of dollars, but at the end of the day, if there is still an abundance left, that's what Jesus is measuring. In the case of the widow, her gift was small, but after she gave, there was nothing left. So rather than giving out of her abundance, she gives out of her scarcity. She gives all she has to God. In Luke 9, if you flip back, I think it's important when you read the Gospels that you not only just read the text that you want to focus on, but that you also read immediately what becomes before and also after, but that you also look at the whole arc of the story, because these gospel writers were excellent writers, and they wrote their stories and they structured them with a purpose. If you ever took, you know, English classes in high school or college, writing and crafting a story matters. And so the gospel writers utilized some of these techniques. So I would encourage you to when you read a gospel, to make sure you're kind of reading the whole thing so you can understand the fullness of the story. But if you flip back to Luke 9, we hear this story where Jesus is foretelling his death to the disciples. And it says in Luke 9:46, an argument arose among them as to which one was the greatest. So the disciples, over and over again, they care about who's going to be the greatest. They have this affinity toward greatness. And Jesus, later in Luke 21, points to this story of the widow, that her example is what it means to be great. Her example of giving everything, rather than being like the scribes, rather than being the ones who demand seats of honor and praises of respect and the best seats, that's not what it means to be great. What greatness means is to give everything you have for the mission of the kingdom of God. One of the beautiful things about generosity is it has this way of multiplying itself. When you empty yourself to allow God to fill you up, it creates a ripple effect. It shows others what it means to give. And I'm not just talking about your monetary giving. I'm talking about your whole life, your time, your talents, your service, your witness. Are you giving all of that to God? In our world, it's really easy to live like the world. I don't know about you, but I see a lot of bickering going on, a lot of attacking, a lot of lies being told, a lot of things being shared just to get us worked up. And I think God is calling us to something different. God is calling us to not be like the scribes. God is calling us to not look like the world, but to look like the widow. To humble ourselves, to open ourselves to all that God has to offer. And so as I was thinking of the world that we live in, I realized it's really easy to be a reflection of that world rather than being a reflection of God. And right now, we were just talking about this before we started our service, our worship team that's here this morning, about how we are so tired of all the political ads that we're seeing all of the time because they just want to attack one another. And so recently, just last week, an ad went up from Utah, of all places, the governor's race there. And I want to show you that this morning. So hopefully we have the tech queued up and we're able to do that.
And I'm Spencer Cox. We are currently in the final days of campaigning against each other to be your next governor.
And while I think you should vote for me.
Yeah, but really you should vote for me.
There are some things we both agree on.
We can debate issues without degrading each other's character.
We can disagree without hating each other.
And win or lose, in Utah, we work together.
So let's show the country that there's a better way.
My name's Chris Peterson.
And I'm Spencer Cox.
And
we approve this message.
Hashtag Stand United. Last week we read from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, where he calls us to be united together, to come together. Even in places where we disagree, we're still called to be the body of Christ. Friends, it's easy to look like the world. It's not easy to come together, even when everyone else is telling you you should attack. When I scroll through my Facebook and my Twitter feeds, I see a lot of hatred. A lot of telling about why the other side is terrible, which suddenly makes your side better. But Jesus gives us this example in Luke and all over Scripture about how we're called to be something different, to look different than how the world looks. Instead of tearing each other down, will we build each other up? Instead of dividing, will we unite? Instead of sowing hate, will we sow love? Instead of sharing fiction, will we share the truth of the gospel? Friends, we're called to not just give our extra, but to give even when we experience scarcity. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've struggled financially and didn't know, you know, which bill I was going to be able to pay. And I remember early in my childhood, you know, our lights being shut off, our water being cut off because we couldn't pay the bills. And in times of financial struggle is scary. And this is a time where folks all across our world are struggling economically, either from loss of job or from reduced hours. And those can be difficult times. But it's in those moments, instead of being fearful, that's when God calls us to give over our whole selves. Not just our financial resources, but like I said earlier, also our time and our talents and our witness. Our witness where we share and show the love of God to others. So I want you to think about your witness this morning. Is your witness like the scribes? Or is your witness like the widow? Does your witness show others that you are willing to give everything to God, even if it looks different than how the world looks? Even if it's radical, even if it's scary? What does your life reflect? As I was preparing for this week, I found a quote that I want to end with this morning. The writer of this, and I forgot to write down his name, but he says, "The truth is this. Whenever I give Jesus my two little coins from a place of trust and from a place of love, I put a smile on God's face. And God looks at me and reminds me yet again, it's not your two coins that I'm after. It's you that I want. Scarcity and all." Let's pray. Holy God, we come together in worship today, offering our whole lives over to you, going all in for Jesus, examining every area of our lives and letting you into it. That God, even when we don't feel like we have enough, that God, we still give all of that to you. God, as we examine our hearts and our actions, we just ask that they would reflect your kingdom and not the world. That God, we would act more like the widow, humbling ourselves before you, opening up our lives so that we can be filled up with your goodness and mercy. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.